Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to our great big giant Friday show here on Catholic Answers Live. So happy you could join us. So happy to be back in the studio with all the good people here at Catholic Answers. Been traveling a little bit this week. I apologize for having been away, although in many ways I'm sure it was an improvement with Jerry Usher here. I was off in Iowa, not Iowa the state, but the city of Iowa, or the town of Iowa in Louisiana, doing the parish mission with Raphael Parish. Although they pronounce it differently, that stumped me for a second. St. Raphael Parish there, and man, there's a lot of good people in Louisiana. I really like Louisiana. I'm just trying to get adjusted to being back here in California. But today, we take care of souls a little bit. Our former chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa, is here with us this hour. And what do we do this hour? Well, we take care of your spiritual life. If you have questions, maybe family issues, marriage issues, maybe a problem with prayer or with sacraments or something you'd like help with on the pastoral level, please give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. As I said, our guest, Father Vincent Serpa, was chaplain here at Catholic Answers. He is a Dominican priest and an expert apologist. And after many years here with us here in San Diego, he now resides up there among the coyotes and the mountain lions and the horse carriages of San Francisco. Nice to have you here with us, Father. Thanks for being with us.
Another swipe at the Bay Area. I know. Yeah.
Well, I've only seen it in movies. I just know that you still have telegraph and stuff. Are you coming to us via telegraph right now, or is this something that is a different kind of line you're using?
Oh, the abuse. The abuse.
And how is everything up there in the Bay Area, Father? How are you?
Everything's just fine. I got a brand new habit, new threads.
Oh, a brand new habit. Like if I get a brand new habit, it's like I started snoring or something. But when you say you got a brand new habit, you are in your beautiful whites now.
Yeah. Shiny and my kind of habit, I can spill ketchup on. Your kind of habit, you can't.
No, but I do have a habit of spilling ketchup. That's a completely different thing. So as a Dominican priest, you wear white like the Pope wears because you all are imitating the Pope, right? Is that why you do that?
No. He's imitating us because a Dominican started. Saint Pius V wore white because he was Dominican, and then his successor really was the one who did it because his successor was not a Dominican and chose to wear it anyway. And then they just did, yeah.
Right. Again, our number 888-318-7884. If you have a question of a pastoral nature, your spiritual life is our topic this hour. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest. And we are very, very happy to take your call. I have no idea like where you would go to get a new Dominican habit. Like, is there
you go to the Dominican habit maker, for crying out loud?
And who's the like where is this? That's not at the mall. I've never seen that at the mall.
Well, actually, there is a lady nearby who makes uniforms and makes clothes, and she makes habits for us. She does very well too.
Oh,
she can make a habit in one day. She said.
Takes me about 30 days to form a habit.
I've been jumping around here trying to get it's been rainy, very rainy today. But every once in a while, the sun comes out. And now the sun is coming out, and it's coming through the blinds. And so there's little white specks.
I can see that on you. The sun came out just to spite you.
Yes. Well, it's not bothering me, really. But I know that it's not supposed to be doing that.
Now you look fine. You look fine. I'm impressed. I'm impressed that we can get that kind of image through a telegraph line from San Francisco there. One more time, our number, 888-318-7884. Our guest, Father Vincent Serpa. Our topic, whatever is on your mind or heart having to do with your life of faith. We're taking pastoral questions this hour. 888-318-7884. Already lines filling up, Father, shall we?
Sure.
Let's go to Don in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Don, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. I had two quick questions. Number one, I named my guardian angel years ago, and I've heard conflicting thoughts on that, whether you should or if it's forbidden to do that. I named mine Serenity Miss. And then number two,
what did you name yours? What? Serenity-ness, okay.
And then number two, I traveled to Arizona in the 90s, and I as just a souvenir and art, piece of art, I picked up this little statuette of Coco Pelli, which is, you know, it's a, you know, they believe it's a fertility god. But, you know, I just always have viewed it as an art piece and a souvenir, but I wondered if that's not good to keep in my home because it's a, you know, a false god.
I wouldn't do it. There's so many things you can have in your house that just give glory to God. Why put something like that in there? I just wouldn't do it. That's my my personal. Church doesn't say you can't, but it's not a good idea, I don't think.
Okay. And as far as naming our guardian angel?
Well, you know, as I understand it, God's named them already. If you want to have a nickname, that's fine. The fact that if it means that you're more aware of it, you think of your guardian angel more often, that's not a bad thing. Guardian angel is good enough for me. I don't need to call him anything else. There's the prayer to the guardian angels, and they just refer to him as guardian angel, you know. If that floats your boat, I suppose it's okay.
Okay, Don?
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for that call, Don. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. We're tackling pastoral issues this hour with Father Vincent Serpa, former chaplain here at Catholic Answers. Father, we are encouraged, though, to have a relationship with our guardian angel. I mean, that's a very good thing. And I didn't know. I thought that our guardian angel was kind of a helper, which I'm sure that your guardian angel is a helper. But your guardian angel also has charge over you, is responsible
protector
for you. So that's a pretty good friend to have.
It doesn't mean that guardian angel doesn't take that the guardian angel takes away our free will. No, we can still more than God does. But no, the guardian angel is there to help us, and probably many times it has not only in in terms of our physical protection, but spiritual protection as well.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I have a question for you, Father, because someone asked me this recently, and so this person said they didn't really acknowledge the beginning of Lent, and now they feel bad and they want to start. Can you start late on Lent? Is that all right?
You can always start late. I mean, you can always start, certainly. God's not finished with us. And even, you know, Lent is there as a help. It's not there to make us worse or to be a means of punishing us. It's conversion. You know, we're converted in many different ways, little ways and big ways. And to suddenly realize the value of Lent and recognize that one hasn't been appreciating it, there's no time better than the present to begin to acknowledge it and live according to it.
I feel bad because I said, no, it's too late now. Forget it. I didn't really say that, Father. I'm sorry. No, I didn't say that. I'm just teasing you. I know it's hard when you come on here with me. I apologize for that, Father. We better take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Your Spiritual Life with Father Vincent Serpa right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right, subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous period in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform Yourself is a great place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Great Big Giant Friday Show. Second hour, Dr. Carrie Gress is going to be here with us, and we are going to talk about a kind of spiritual protection for children you may not have thought of having to do with Marian consecration. You're not going to want to miss that, especially if there are children or young people in your life whose spiritual well-being you have any concern for or responsibility for. That'll be Dr. Carrie Gress next hour. She's got a wonderful new book on Marian consecration for children. This hour, Father Vincent Serpa is our guest, and we're discussing whatever is on your mind having to do with your spiritual life, maybe with your own Lenten journey. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Andrew, and I don't know where Andrew is, but we got Andrew on the line, so that's enough. Andrew, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Oh, hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Sure.
My question is a little off topic. I tried to call in yesterday, but I wasn't able to go through because the show ended. But I hope that's fine.
Oh, sure. We're happy to have you.
Okay. Thank you so much. So I've been researching a lot lately about the Church and so on and so forth, and I've been seeing a lot of constants. So the Church is described as being the body of Christ, and a lot of other times is also described as the bride of Christ. And I've just been kind of curious, you know, as I've been exploring my Catholic faith and why that is, and if any of you could explain that to me.
Sure, it depends on the context in which one is discussing God, because certainly the mystical body of Christ is all of us, including him. That's what the Church is. We're all a part of one another, and when one part hurts, the whole part hurts. So the Church is described in that way. St. Paul described it in this way, because it's a living thing, and it's not just this big structure. It's people, and at the heart of it, at the head of it, is Christ himself. He's the head of the Church. But speaking of the Church in terms of the bride of Christ is speaking of the relationship that he has with his people. And the Church is using the example of married love to describe the kind of intimacy that the Lord has with his people. And he completes us. And it's not that we complete him, as in the case of marriage, the husband and wife complete each other. With the Lord, though, he's totally complete, but he shares his life with us, offers us his life, and in fact gave his life for us in his passion. So so we respond to him as the bride, as the bride of Christ. This is what the Church is. We're all part of the Church. But both of those things don't conflict with each other. They're just different ways of looking at the same thing. Does that help?
Yeah, actually, yeah, thank you so much. That makes so much sense. That actually gives me a lot of peace. Thank you so much, Father.
You're quite welcome.
Andrew, so happy to have you call. Call anytime. We'd love to hear from you again. 888-318-7884 is our number. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest, and we go now to Bridget in Buffalo, New York. Bridget, is it cold and rainy there in Buffalo, New York?
Not that cold, but we just had about 2 feet of snow.
Oh, I said rainy, but okay. Yeah, 2 feet of snow. All right. I'm glad you worked your way through the blizzard to talk to Father. Your question for Father Serpa.
father, I was wondering, when someone passes away, what happens to your guardian angel?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if the guardian angel, you know, if you should be in purgatory, is praying for you, or if the Lord gives the guardian angel to someone else. That has not been revealed to us. So that's one of those things that we'll find out when we meet the Lord. But we don't know how the Lord has not explained that to us.
But we do. I mean, they are eternal creatures. They're not going anywhere.
They're not. They're yeah, absolutely.
They're going to be fine.
Yeah. They're okay.
Bridget, how's that all strike you? Bridget? Did we lose Bridget? Oh, well, Bridget's not there. She just wanted to make sure her guardian angel was going to be all right, and then she's out of here. She's got to go shovel snow, Father. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Let's go to Ann in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Ann, your question for Father Vincent Serpa. Hi, Ann.
My question's about my marriage.
Okay.
I've been married 14 years, and there has been, over the past several years, financial abuse, emotional abuse. We were essentially homeless, living in a hotel for a period of time. And now my husband has been arrested. He's in jail. And since he's been arrested, I've been making strides. You know, I have an apartment. I'm moving forward. But I was married in the church, and marriage is my vocation to be a wife. Mm-hmm. And I mean, God has put many kind people in my path while I've been going through this. So I feel like I'm doing the right thing, but I think it's like I'm in mourning for my marriage. I can't move forward out feeling like I'm abandoning him.
Well, do you know how long he'll be incarcerated?
It could be up to a year.
I see. So it's not for many years. It's just for a limited amount of time.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And your question is, I'm not sure. It's you know he's going to be coming out. You've been making a new life for yourself. Are you asking what you should do when he gets out? I'm not quite sure what it is you want.
Yes, I mean, I don't know if I should focus on getting well myself, or if I should look ahead towards possibly reconciling.
Well, I think you probably have to deal with yourself first in this instance. Yeah, you have to get yourself, your life together. And then, because if you don't, you're not going to be much help to him anyway. So it's better for you to get your life straightened out. Are you working now?
Yes.
Okay. So get yourself, financially stable and then I would think that at this point he would have to kind of earn his place back with you. He has to show that he can be you can live with him in a peaceful way, and that he won't be in any he won't be bringing you down, you know, with regard to the way he behaves and so on. Because you know, there's no sense in going back to where you were. And he seems, you know, if he has really, you know, changed while he's been in jail, he still has to prove himself to you, it seems to me, because of the past. And you don't want to go back to that. So it's not a matter of your doing him harm by being independent of him. But you know, your life has been rather fragile, and you need to get some stability going. And as I say, in time, if he can show you that he can come back and be supportive of you and not be a detriment to your way of life, then you can make that decision then. But it seems to me the proof lies with him at this point, not with you. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So kind of wait and watch.
I would say so, yeah. Uh-huh. And pray.
Okay.
We'll be praying for him too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, Anne, for that call. 888-318-7884, our number. Father Vincent Serpa, Dominican priest, former chaplain here at Catholic Answers, is our guest this hour. And if you've got a question that you need a priest to answer, this is a perfect time for you. 888-318-7884. Mary in Fort Worth, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
Hi, Father Vincent.
Hi.
My question is about Lent. Mm-hmm. Myself, my children, and grandchildren were all cradle Catholic. So last Sunday, my daughter said to me that she heard, and the priest talked about it at her church, that whatever you give up for Lent, your sacrifice, whether it was Coke, chips, or I don't know what else, you can have that on Sunday. And that was the first time I've ever heard of this.
Well, yeah, you can do that if you want, but then the sacrifice is not as great because you're breaking it. It seems to me that you know it's up to you as to how much penance you want to do and how you want to do it. The church doesn't tell you what you were to give up or how you're supposed to give it up or whatever it is, whatever the sacrifice is that you're making. But and if you want to not do it on Sundays eat whatever or have whatever you're sacrificing, you can do that. But it's certainly much more of a sacrifice if you don't and wait until Easter. I know that in the Eastern churches, they have very strict Lent. They don't have eggs. They don't have meat byproducts. It's much stricter, but oh wow, Easter is a much more full and joyous experience because of that which they were willing to deny themselves for Him. So that's really up to you. The greater the sacrifice, the more joy at the end. But you can sacrifice less if you want on Sundays. It's up to you.
What do you think, Mary?
My thinking, too, is that Jesus didn't, sacrifice for 40 straight days. He didn't get to take a break, so I didn't feel we should either. So I'll let my daughter and her kids know about it.
Okay, good enough.
Mary, you should probably join Radio Club, too. If you haven't joined Radio Club, you just go to, catholic.com/radio club, and you can join there, catholic.com/radio club, because Father, you're gonna think so much less of me. If that's even possible, you're gonna think so much less of me. But I wrote my article this week, or was it last week, Darren, was about why it's I like not giving anything up on Sundays.
Oh, so you think that if they look at join Radio Club, this will be joining it will be a great sacrifice. It'll be
No, that's not what I was saying, Father. I feel like that. Wait a second. You just twisted my words all around with, oh, man. I don't know about you Northern California people.
I just
wanted to give Mary the heads up that article was there. When was it, Darren? Was it last week or the week before? Darren doesn't know. We always write them a week before and then they go out, and then I can never remember which week that the thing went out. You know what I'm talking about? But I think it was last week that it went out. Yeah. Darren says yes. 888-318-7884 is the number. Why are you laughing at me, Father? You think like nobody cares anyways. This is why
you people sound so crazy down there. I just don't understand.
Well, no, it's not crazy. We're filled with joy. We're filled with the joy of the Spirit.
Okay.
Hey, I want to let our listeners know something before we have to go to a break, if you don't mind, Father. Our May-June issue of Catholic Answers magazine marks the 50th anniversary of Blessed Pope John Paul VI. Humanae Vitae. Did I pronounce it right, or should I say Humanae Vitae? Humani.
What you said was okay.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Let me
say that
better.
All right. So the whole magazine is an exploration of the crucial social and theological issues surrounding that encyclical, which still today is quite controversial for many people. What's the theological core of the issue of contraception? What are the limits of the document's teaching? What led the Pope to issue the encyclical? So much more. Don't miss out on this one. You're going to want to get this one because you can have it around for years. It's going to be of value. Currently, the magazine is $10 to $20 off the normal subscription price. Plus, you get a free digital subscription when you do that. Just visit CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We're going to be doing some more shows throughout the course of the year on Umani Vitae because 50th anniversary is a big deal, and it is a watershed moment in the history of the church, what happened in 1968. But they've already got the magazine out. So if you want to be prepared, and as many different publications and shows will be tackling the questions and problems that arose because of Humana Vitae and the church's or Pope Paul's reemphasis of the church's teaching on contraception and explanation of that teaching in Humana Vitae, go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Subscribe. It's one of the best Catholic magazines you can get. I sincerely mean that. One of the best Catholic magazines you can get. CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour. Our questions for the hour come entirely from you, having to do with issues of the soul, of the family, prayer life. If you've got a pastoral concern, give us a call, 888-318-7884.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Welcome back to our great big fun Friday show. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour. And I have to tell you, it really is fun for us when Father Serpa is on. We don't get to see Father Serpa nearly as much as we used to. And at the breaks and whatnot, he tells us how crazy we are. And we all actually that makes us crazier. And so it's a happy Friday. Now, the second hour after Father Serpa's here, we will have Dr. Carrie Gress here. And we're going to talk about Marian consecration. Oh, you do want to know about Marian consecration. As a matter of fact, Our first call here, Father, is about Mary. As far as I know, let's go to Kristen in Parsons, Kansas, listening on the internet. Kristen, thanks for being with us. Your question for Father Serpa.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here. I'm 68 years old, never been married, so I was very close to my mother, and she died. But I also want to tell you that I'm not a full-fledged Catholic yet. I'm in RCIA. And my question is about a relationship with her. And I do have a rosary. They gave me one, and I haven't learned how to do it quite yet, but I just want a relationship with her, and I thought I should call in.
Okay, well, if you want to have a relationship with her, you got it. She, you know, the Lord gave her to us from the cross when he gave her to John. He said, you know, behold your mother. And then he told her, behold your son. And he represented the rest of us. Actually, his own mother was actually there. But our Lord was speaking not just that she was going to be in an, his mother in an emotional way, but a truly spiritual way, that she would be his mother and our mother, because he is our Savior, and he wants to share with us. He wanted to share with us all that he had. He gave his life, and he gave his mother as well. She was a very holy woman. She had to be to have been his mother. The Lord wouldn't choose anyone but a special person for that, because the relationship between a mother and child is so special, so intimate. To have had someone who was a great sinner would have been most inappropriate. And Mary was not that. She was holy, and she was preserved from having original sin because of that, not because of her own merits, but because of his. And so, you know, just tell her that you want to be her child. You're grateful that you're her child, and that you're grateful for the fact that she said yes to the angel when the angel asked her if she would be the mother of the Savior. So she's given us her son, and we're very happy for that. So, you know, anything you want to tell her, feel free to tell her. Anything you would tell a mother, tell her. Because she's the mother of all mothers. You know, she's the mother of our own mothers as well. She's the mother of us all. Does that help?
Yes, I'm just smiling. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're quite welcome.
Kristen, you're making us smile, too. It's wonderful to hear about you being in RCIA. Would you hang on a second? I'm going to ask the call screener, Nathan, to get your name and address. I'd like to send you Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother, one of the best books on Mary that you can find out there. I think you'll be happy to have it. Behold Your Mother. Can you get that, Nathan? Okay, yeah, just hang on, Kristen. We'll get your information if you're willing to give it to us, and we'll send you out that book. Father, we go now to Kathy in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on 1260 AM. Kathy, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
Hello?
Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. Sometimes I go to this shrine that's here in the Cleveland area. It's Our Lady of Lourdes, and there's mm-hmm. a relic there. And then there's also a presentation of 11 relics. One is like part of the wood from the cross, and a few other relics locally on Sunday. And I was thinking about going, but I really don't understand why we see the or why we go to see the relics. You know, what's the purpose of it?
Well, I mean, you know, people will spend all kinds of money to have a piece of clothing of some movie star that was in a particular movie, and they feel a connection with it. They feel a connection with the person who wore it. I mean, to have this piece of clothing that their favorite star actually wore in this movie, and that's just a piece of cloth, and it's just a movie star. I mean, good heavens, they're merely human beings like the rest of us, but to have something that was very close to a holy person would matter so much more. You know, when you read the story of the saints, and you know, somebody you can really identify with, and you find out how holy they were, just to see a real picture of them, you know, not a painting, but a photograph is a great thing. But to have something that belonged to them is an honor, something that we tend to like to do. And so having a first class relic of a saint is only matters because the saint matters. I mean, we like to have access to something that was very intimate with that person that we admire so much. But if the saints don't matter to us, then of course, what's the point of it? You know, it's all about the saint and their relationship with the Lord, and the fact that we like to have that same kind of relationship. That's what makes the saints so attractive, and that we can identify with them. They're human like us, you know. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. But I'm fascinated by the saints, and I have a book about their lives, you know, and I read the different, there's a saint for every day of the year. But I just didn't understand. I feel like if I go, I might be gawking or something. You know, I don't want to be making light of it, but I do want to get closer to God. So you think I could get closer to God if I go see the relics?
Well, it's possible. The fact is, if it's a saint that you cared about, and that saint, the relic is of that saint, you know, again, it's the same kind of thing, the matter of wanting to associate with that which we admire, you know. That's why, as I said, people will spend all kinds of money having, you know, something that belonged to Clark Gable or somebody, you know. These are the heroes and heroines of humanity. You know, these are the greatest human beings that have lived. These are people who got it right. They loved God to a heroic degree, and so they matter to us, and we want to be close to them. That's why we do this.
Kathy, I hope that was helpful. Thank you so much for that call. Father, I want to share a question with you from YouTube. Patricia on YouTube expresses this question quite urgently, actually, and she says, my question has to do with the death penalty. I always understood we are pro-life from conception to natural death, and that what the Catechism teaches is more in extreme situations which hardly exist. So why are so many Catholics pro-death penalty? Don't we believe in the redemption of criminals?
Well, the fact that one is in favor of the death penalty doesn't mean that we don't want people to go to heaven. You know, first of all, it's considered a deterrent. And other people say, oh, it doesn't matter. If people criminals are on drugs, they don't care about anything, and it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. You know, life is a pretty important thing. And to risk losing one's life simply because one has done something that's very, very wrong, can be a deterrent. So even though there are exceptions, there are people who are out of it and don't know what's going on. There are people, you know, it says what was done is not acceptable. You know, taking innocent life is not acceptable. And so, so as a deterrent, but I don't, not just for the person that did it, but to society as a whole. We're saying this behavior is not acceptable, and for the common good, it's appropriate for us to acknowledge that in as strong a way as we can, you know. So the church does not say that it's not acceptable. There are instances where it's unacceptable, but there are instances where it is. And so the church doesn't say for sure that you have to go one way or the other in this. But it recognizes that there are certain statements that are made to the people as a whole that do matter and need to be acknowledged. It amazes me how so many people are complaining about condemning guilty people who've done heinous things to death, and yet think nothing of snuffing out the lives of thousands and thousands of children who would be in their way in their mind, and so they abort them. You know, that's a truly heinous thing, and not enough people are making enough noise about it. Okay.
But Patricia, thank you very much. Thanks to everybody who joins us on Facebook or YouTube or Periscope. Mm-hmm. That question came from YouTube. And we'll try to get to as many of those questions as we can when they come. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Father Vincent Serpa on Your Spiritual Life when we come back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers.
That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. This Lent, plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Very happy to be back in studio today. Our guest is Father Vincent Serpa, Dominican priest, former chaplain here, and apologist at Catholic Answers. And we go right off the bat here to Charbel in Buffalo, New York. Charbel, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Father Vincent. I was wondering, I went to confession recently, and I feel despair after it because, I don't know, because I'm still, like, mourning my sin. Is that some sort of, like, punishment from God, or is it normal to feel that way? Because I've heard that you're supposed to feel like it. Huh?
It's not a matter of feeling at all. It's a matter of recognizing that your sins have been forgiven by a God who loved you enough to die for you. You should be rejoicing, not despairing. That doesn't make any sense at all.
So,
don't you think?
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
so the answer to the question is...
Go ahead.
You go ahead. Sorry.
I know I'm forgiven. Just that I've been feeling like despair over what I've done like years ago, like sins that I recognize as moral now. Like, I recently came back to the church and I'm ready to serve Christ. It's just that
why,
it's just one of those
why
things.
Why would you be feeling despair when, you know, it's like saying you're so upset because the room is dark when you've already turned the light on? I mean, you know, I don't understand. Why would you feel despair or something like that? Of course, feelings are not always voluntary, and which means that they're not that significant in terms of our where we are spiritually, you know, in terms of our soul and God. So if you do feel despair, it's a psychological thing. It's certainly not a spiritual one because your sins have been forgiven. And the worst possible thing that could be done was done on this earth when the Lord was put to death. And he welcomed it because we would benefit from it. So anything that we do can't come close to the harm that was done to him. And you know, rejoice in the fact that you're loved, that your name is written in heaven. Okay.
Okay, Charbel.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I mean, I know like God, Jesus Christ. Another thing is that like when I fall back into like, let's say like mortal sin, I mean, I always think of like the end, like afraid of confessing it before I die. Like that's the thing. Like I'm always worried about the particular judgment, how Christ will. We'll have to give account of all of our good and bad deeds. Like
keep your eye on the Lord more than on you. And you'll be okay. Keep your focus on him and his goodness and his love for you. Don't get overwhelmed by your sins. They're nothing compared to the amount of his love. Okay?
Okay.
Do you know the scripture, Charbel, perfect love drives out fear?
I've heard of it, but I forgot where it said that.
Well, look it up. It'll be good for you. It's from St. John. And look it up, because I think, unless I'm wrong, Father, that's what you're getting at, that loving the Lord is what cures us of these things. If we're focused on ourselves, that's not going to get us anywhere. Focus on loving the Lord and everything changes.
Okay.
God bless you, brother.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Call anytime. Let's go to Lydia in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Lydia, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
I was wondering, but, like, Jesus created God and Jesus created babies. And I don't understand why people want to kill him.
Ah, Lydia, that's a very, very tough question. Lydia, are you very, very old? You sound like you might be like 50 or 60 years old. Am I right or no?
No, I'm 7.
Oh, you're 7. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I wasn't sure about that, Lydia. Father God makes little babies, and Lydia is disturbed that people want to kill babies. So how do you respond to that?
Well, God allows people to sin so that by their sin, they end up loving him more than they would have otherwise when they realize when they recognize that he forgives them and loves them so much. So, again, as we said with the last caller, we want to focus on how much he loves us. And and even though there is sin in the world and people do bad things, we pray for them. And when we're praying for them, not only are we helping them, but we're helping ourselves too, because we're acting in an unselfish way, and that's a good thing. So the Lord will take care of us all in the end. And so we just pray that people will be more loving and more considerate of each other, and especially of little babies too. That's what we do. We look at that. We see that's a bad thing. We ask God to bless those people, bless the babies and bless those who want to kill them. And so that someday maybe they'll change their minds and be converted. Is that okay? Is that right with you?
Lydia?
Hello?
I'm stuck here. Okay. And do they have sin that they don't want the babies, or... they don't but why would they want to get pregnant and they don't want the baby?
Oh, Lydia, that's a very tough question, isn't it? Father?
Well, we don't know why people want the things they want sometimes, but because people do bad things, we ask God to forgive them and to help them to know they shouldn't do those things. We don't know why people commit sins. You know, people commit sins for many different reasons. But it's for us to pray for them. And maybe by our prayers, they might change their minds. And by our prayers, we will grow closer to God by just saying the prayers. So in the long run, it can all work out very well. The Lord will take care of it.
Lydia, thank you so much for that call. Very happy to talk with you. And I hope that you will call again, Lydia, anytime. Let's go to Maria in Portland, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. Maria, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please. Maria?
Hello?
Nope. No, Maria. We'll come back to you. Maria, maybe Maria's taking a nap. Riley in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Listening on Catholic Radio 990 AM. Riley, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
Yes. So I am a Catholic, and I have a lot of friends that are Protestant, and they spend a lot of time reading the Bible, as they should as Christians, and they don't quite get the sola scriptura kind of idea that the Catholic Church has. And I think a lot of, because they don't understand that, they accuse Catholics of not reading their Bible a lot. And so when it comes to developing my spiritual life, how do I strike a balance between reading scripture, but also paying attention to what the saints have written and other sources that we hold in high esteem in the Catholic Church?
Well, first of all, we give our attention to the Lord, and we acknowledge him in the Eucharist. We acknowledge him in each other, but we certainly acknowledge him hanging on the cross. We reflect on the Passion. You know, when St. Thomas Aquinas was asked what was the greatest book that he ever read, he said, no, I guess that was Mother Teresa. She said it was the Blessed. She said the Eucharist. That's it. But St. Thomas did say that he got more from reflecting on the Eucharist than from any book he had ever read, which would even include Scripture, because in the Eucharist it's him. It's right there. You know, it's not something about him. It's him. And so this is not to disparage Scripture at all, but because it's Scripture, is about the Lord. But having direct access to the Lord is the greatest thing we can do. You know. You know, we were talking earlier, somebody was calling about the relics, and I mentioned, you know, people wanting to buy all kinds of paraphernalia that somehow was used by some movie star that they admire. Well, how much more must we recognize the value of having direct access to the Lord, the author of Scripture, in that tabernacle or on the altar? That's what we, you know, that comes first. That comes before everything, our direct relationship with him. And I'm sure that the Protestants would agree with that Scripture is only important because it's about him. And he is the object. He's the reason for it. He's the reason for everything. And so our attention to the Lord has to be number one. Okay?
Riley?
That sounds good. So I guess I never really thought about adoration being another way to develop my spiritual life.
It
really makes sense as you say, because that is the actual, we're in the presence of Jesus himself.
Right. Right. And just praying directly to God, even when we're not before the Blessed Sacrament, praying to him, acknowledging him, he's everywhere. That every Christian should appreciate him. And that's our goal, to be in connection with him, in union with him. You know, Billy Graham said that one of the last things he said was that he regretted, and this is the Protestant speaking, he regretted that he didn't spend more time just talking to the Lord, listening to him, and telling him that he loved him. We're all called to that, every Christian, Catholic, amen, Protestant, Orthodox, you know.
Riley, thank you very, very much. I'm going to try to get another call in here before the end of the show. Before the end of the hour. Joe in Eagle Pass, Texas, can you state your question kind of quickly to give Father a chance to answer it?
Sure. Thank you for having me on. It's a rather complex question. I turned to God here from a cradled Catholic after my 16-year-old son died, and I'm a fledgling apologist now. I'm trying to learn as much as I can, getting in the fire. But my question is, in confession one day, and from a very admired priest, I really looked up to him, I was, you know, in fear of my own demise and whether God would allow me to be forgiven. And he was explaining to me that God's mercy is so immeasurable that in our dying moments, we get to see him. And his answer to me was, and who's going to deny Jesus at that time, right? So, I mean, we have that chance for redemption and for being saved. But I had a problem with that answer because, in essence, if that happens with everyone, even with people who are evil and commit atrocities, and you're to be given that chance for redemption and being saved, then to me that was kind of like paramount to allowing God to allow evil to happen.
All right, Joe, I got to leave it there because I got to give. I think we get the point, but I want Father to be able to respond. Thanks, Joe.
Well, the fact is, some people have a few moments to recognize what had happened, but some people are killed instantly and don't have that opportunity. That kind of counters what the priest was telling you. Not everyone has that time. It would be great if they did, but we don't know that happens. There are people who die just, you know, instantly. So
Joe, thanks very, very much for that question. Sorry I had to rush you along there, but as you can hear, we are at the top of the hour. Father Vincent Serpa has been our guest. Father is a Dominican priest. And may we have your blessing, Father, before we go.
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father. It's very, very nice to get to be on the air with you again.
Same here.
Stay safe up there among the coyotes and the wolves and stuff. Okay, now next hour, Dr. You are going to want to be here for the next hour. If there's a young person, especially a child in your life, look, the world is a spiritually dangerous place for the young now. We're going to talk about finding harbors of spiritual safety. How can you protect those young ones? Well, I'll tell you what, there's no better protector of children than Mary. We'll talk about that when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.